Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you are listening to El Islam-based conversations. I want to open up with my promise, which is not to insult your intelligence or waste your time. That statement has been with me and served me and motivated me, and you know, since I've been on blog talks or podcasts or trying to share the little bit I know with other people, and then in return they share what the little bit that they know with me. And that's worked for me for years, and now I'm actively trying to step up to a higher level. That term came out of the class that I'm in. The reason that I'm sharing that is because when we really grow to understand life, and that the religious life has a place and a part to play, and if we don't give it that place and a part to play, we suffer. We suffer spiritually, and people won't work. It's such an abstract term to identify, but one of the big terms in there that helps you identify is that once you suffer spiritually, you lose your moral life, your sense of right and wrong. Now, at first, it may not sound like much. Well, I don't know right from wrong. So what? A lot of people don't know right from wrong. True that. And a lot of people are suffering. A lot of people aren't getting the full benefit that they should be getting from life, from being alive and from this thing we call life, you know, little four-letter word with such a powerful meaning. Now, one of the reasons that we don't maybe fully understand that it's a powerful word and has a powerful meaning is because it's in the language that doesn't necessarily suggest that. And when we think about life, we get very personal. We think it's my life. No, life is bigger. Life was here before we were here. And so that's what gives life its power. It has been an ongoing resource since forever. You know, it came into existence when we came into existence. And then when we came into existence, as we grew to know what it really was, we began to express it differently. And to this in this present day, because we have a lot of information. This is an information age along with technology. We have a lot of information about life, how to live it and what it does and what it doesn't do. And we even tell people, get a life. So how do we justify, how do we qualify to think we can tell people to get a life? Because what we see is clearly not life. There's consequences for doing the right and wrong thing in life, but when you don't even have a life, you don't have a sense of what that is or what it's not, and you just wake up and do whatever the urge says. You either go to work, or if you're not old enough to go to work, you go to some school or go somewhere out in the think it's life. And for every given day, it may be this one day and that the next day, and it's just like I said, it's just following your urges. What you think and I think life is, and how we feel about it. You know, right now, someone somewhere is complaining about life. and not knowing that when you claim about, when you complain about life, then that's why they tell you to get a life. You, when you complain about life, that means something's not right in your life. That's why you're complaining. That's why we complain. Something's not right. Now, that's something that's not right may not be, it's not life. It's our misunderstanding of life. So we don't have a life, and we are at the mercy of circumstances, and we are suffering consequences because that's what happens. When you don't know that you don't know, then you can't join the family or the crowd of people who do know. You unconsciously are relying on them to tell you, and they give you their version of life, and you're still where you started. You still don't have a life. Life is not something that we adopt. Life is not something that we look out there and see, I want to be like him. He's a hero. He's a celebrity. He got money. He's rich. No. You don't pick your life or choose your life until you come alive. If you're dead to that process, you go with the flow, roll with the punches. Or we, I won't say you, it's not, I'm not talking to you like that. I've been where I'm talking about. That's why I'm talking about it, in hopes that somebody will hear it and they won't want to go there. Because you know what? When you're like that, when you become that, it's pure hell. I can't say it any better. I mean, I can't say it any nicer. I can't make it feel good. I can't take away the fact that it's bitter, sweet. Till we figure it out, it's more bitter than sweet. See? But you see that other word in that you could do? How do you stop it from being bitter? You got to get better at it. You got to better understand what it really is and what it really not. You got to be able to identify without claiming something that you want it to be. You know, we'll do that in a minute. We'll look for a definition, or we'll look for a rationalization that fits what we want. And usually what we want is easy peasy. And had a commercial there, and sister was talking to her sister. And she knew she was talking to her sister when her sister said, yeah, that's right, easy peasy. She said, oh, and I think it was a twin, too. So you see what they were doing? They were mocking, making mockery of you. You want it easy like that. You want to be able to identify what you want it to be, and you want somebody to talk like you talk and be your sister, your partner in crime. Because it is. It's criminal what we do, what we want, how easy we want it. How we slip, almost, not almost, we slip below the animal. And a lot of people, it was coming on, or maybe they're on, and they don't want to hear this. But I'm telling you, things right until you can determine what's wrong. I'm going to say that again. You can't get things right until you determine what's wrong. And not by your definition that it's wrong because it's a hot day, it's wrong because white people are doing this and white people are doing that and other people are doing this and Mexicans are getting this and that and that and that. No. Jeff Bezos had this to say, philosophical. And sometimes things like that, that's what happens. Life can be very in much in need of philosophy to understand it. See? Because everything's not black and white. And I'm not talking about race. I'm talking about situationally, sequence. I'm talking about standards that we uphold, universal principles that govern what we do and what we shouldn't do and how we should do it and when we should do it and when we shouldn't do it. The manner and the measure of how we should do it. It has a manner to it. It has a measure. So all of that suggests or it infers structure. And it also helps us to identify, we may be identified calling something that it's not, doing something that won't work, doing it because everybody else is doing it, that won't work, that won't make a thing right. Numbers do not define right and wrong. Consciousness is given to us when we go to scripture, making our mind, our heart, and our soul available to hear what it has to say and then do it. I'm pausing because so far it's been a mouthful. What do I mean? I mean, I could stop right now. Theme is, ask yourself, do you have a life? And then answer honestly. And give credit for the parts that you have, that you have figured out, and they're working for you. But from a holistic standpoint of view, what's the stats? Full circle standpoint of view. Totally, fully balanced point of view. That's the kind of honesty I'm talking about. Where you don't leave out stuff conveniently. I had a friend at work, coworker, or don't do things that are borderline. It's not quite a lie, you know, but it's not quite the truth either. And we were talking, and I asked her, I said, nice dress you have on, it's pretty. And then I went on to tell her, it looks spring-like. She said, no, look at it. It's got the oranges and everything. It's like that. It's like, not oranges and fruit, oranges and colors. She said, it's the autumn. That's what's getting ready to come, the fall. I said, yeah, you're right. I said, oh, I've been out there in that sun and got a little colorblind. So what I did was made an excuse for myself because it was plain as day that the oranges and the colors that you see, Halloween and all that stuff, they were there. But I didn't see them, and then I was embarrassed. So my ego defended my position by telling her that I was a little colorblind. And she, being the nice person that she was, didn't, what do you call it? Oh, no, it's, she didn't find me guilty of stretching the truth. She didn't say, well, yeah. That's a pretty unlikely theory that the sun did that. You just weren't paying attention. She left me with a little bit of, you know, ego, you know, no need to bust him. But I'm my own worst critic. After I left that situation, I said, you don't want to find yourself in a situation like that while you're trying to fake the funk. See, if you don't have it, if you don't know it, and say you're right, come up with some excuse for why you didn't have it and what was going on, when it's basically borderline truth. When what's available is to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and you can add this part, so help you God. So what is saying? What is that really saying, that last part there? See, so help me God. See, not so help me God. So help me God to get this truth in me and get it in me right and make me put it into place and make me practice it properly and make me identify it correctly and make me utilize it to its fullest, because that's what it's for. And when you find yourself not doing it, don't make that a habit. That's what I'm saying. I'm checking myself and trying to check you at the same time. Which reminds us, what one thing I had to do here recently, long term, I hadn't went to the doctor. And, well, I probably a little bit after COVID had a conversation, but hadn't really went and got the check and did all that stuff. Over a year and something. So I checked in pretty good because I try to take care of myself. But the little machine that checks your blood pressure, it listed. The ideally it should be 120, and the first time we took it was 159 or something. So my number that should have been low, which is the good cholesterol or the good reading you would, or the good pressure you under, whatever, was high. So she realized, you know, maybe you aggravated it or you've done whatever, you know. And I didn't know where I was going. First time I'd been there, woo. But after waiting a little bit, we went down 9 points. And she immediately recommended her solution, which was to go and get medicine. because I had this long-term word that couldn't say hyper something. But what it did was justify the medication that she prescribed. And by the way, I brought all my supplements. And that's my testimony that I'm living a healthy life. I don't have medication. I've been telling people for years, the only medicine I have in my medicine cabinet is Hazel, Witch Hazel. And I joke a little bit with them and I tell them, well, Ned, why you don't need medicine? I say, because I got good genes. And then I tell them, that's not G-E-N-E-S, that's J-E-A-N-S. I'm sorry, but I couldn't resist. I said, I'm just like Book Shields was. Nothing stand between me and my Calvins. Now, what am I saying to say? I'm saying when you really do what you're supposed to do, you can have a little sense of humor. See, tell you everything is it's funny, but it ain't no joke. If it's not healthy, since if you're not have a healthy sense of humor, you really shouldn't tell things, jokes that are not, they're not really intended to be jokes. Because if you joke with people and it's a serious matter and you have to tell them, oh, I was just joking, maybe you shouldn't say that. Because how am I supposed to know you're just joking? See, because it walk like a duck and quack like a duck, it might be a duck. But if you mean no harm in your heart, you just wanted to get a laugh, and you got the laugh, but you got it at the expense of someone didn't know whether is that true or is that a joke or what are you doing? Why are you playing tricks with my mind? Are you a person of character, or can I count on more jokes? What are you doing? So I recommend that we don't do that. Now, there's some people you can do it because it's educational. And when you do say this is funny, but it's not a joke. Okay? People are laughing. People are laughing to keep from crying. It's a common thing. So people do it all the time. They make a joke out of something that's not really funny that's going on in their life because they haven't done what we mentioned earlier. They haven't got control of their life. They haven't do what the bank tells you to do with your money. Manage your money. Manage your business so you'll have a life and you'll know which direction you're going in, which way you want to go, what you don't want, what you do want, and what you will not under any circumstances accept, which is someone to take away your dignity to get you to do it and tamper with your soul so when you do it, it don't bother you. That is at no time is that acceptable. It should not be in any conditions. Any amount of money should not be able to get you even coming close to doing something like that. But guess what? As we're talking or as I'm talking, it's happening right now on a large scale. And so what are we going to do? We're going to do what the scripture tells you to do. Save yourself and then save your family. So what is that saying? Giving you some instruction, but it's telling you first things first. How can you save somebody else and you haven't been saved? Except for in your mind, you claim the Holy Ghost and you get filled up with it and shout, jump and shout and everything. I'm not condemning that. I'm saying to the degree of what we're talking about, life. Your spiritual life may need to be looked at because it shouldn't get you filled with emotion because God don't need your praise. God needs to know when you are conscious enough to praise him and not take the credit or not know who did what. Like I just barely made it to the program today. Time-wise, I had my instructions. I knew what to do once I got here, but my computer wouldn't cooperate. Hour or right up to the last minute. It came through. So do I take the credit? Do I thank the computer? No, that is a moment. That is a memory. That is a reminder that is a consciousness elevator. To say if you believe in God, trust that God, turn to that God, then he will do in return. It's like a boomerang. If you give your kind of commitment, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to get in there in time to start my program on time. Inshallah. And then get busy. And then some results come in. What happened with that transaction? Puts me closer to God. Puts me more putting my hands in his hand. And he don't have no hands. So, you know, that's a miracle right there. I got my hands in God's hands, and God don't have no hands. So what, is double talk? What are you talking about? He just said you put your hands in God. God don't have no hands. You're using metaphors to convey that we should trust in this God. And then we got evidence. See? Baina. We got clear evidence. See? Under scrutiny of falling into its logical conclusion and coming to the conclusion, not only is there a God, he's all wise, all knowing, everything we say about him, this is the credentials, the attributes help us understand and get some kind of definition and get some kind of food for our belief, because the journey ain't easy. Everything I said about life is true. But it requires, it demands, what is that? You get a precept. It's a precept, which means it's an order. See, it means what I just said earlier, that nothing less than what you're supposed to do will get you what you're asking for. So what am I saying? God holds you in. Holds you hostage with his truth? No. But we have to qualify. You don't get it. You have to give God something to bless. You don't ask for miracles just because you haven't done what you needed to do and you need a miracle to bail you out. To the last minute to figure some things out. And one of those things is that we can't deny that there's a God and then act like it. And don't think ritualistic, that I did everything I did because God was sitting up there in heaven on the throne pushing buttons so I could do it. Patience. Knowledge. Conforming to situations by never giving up the hope until you have a reason to say, mashallah. And mashallah, it wasn't Allah's will. It wasn't meant for me to do that. So it didn't come into fruition. Come into my mind that I'm doubting God now. You know, get what you get when you want it, because you want what you want when you want it. You want to get what you get. God does tell us to ask and you shall receive, but he doesn't say when. And it didn't say you just get it because you're cute or you done got beat up all your life and you've been caught hell and you've been in hell and you've been living hell and you've been raising hell and now you were to repent. When a man has been drowning or a person has been drowning, there's a lot of processes that go before that drowning person can get back to normal and function normally after having all that water in their throat and their lungs and in their very being. They come up coughing and all kind of stuff and they're trying to regurgitate. And it may take a minute for the system to get back to normal and function properly. So what am I saying? Same thing when we living in hell and acting a fool and and call ourselves enjoying it. See? We lost sight of some very important things. In the Spanish, it said, mi vida loca, my crazy life. Well, why is it crazy? The person who's trying to live that life, walking on a narrow path, headed down dead-end streets with your dead-end friends, who you love to be around because y'all have so much fun, laugh and joke about things that aren't funny. We just said the word earlier. Humor requires that you have a sense, see, an awareness of what is funny and what's not funny. And it's almost the same as having the awareness of what is right and what is wrong. If you got the second one that I mentioned, then it's easy to have the first one. It may be tempting to say it because it is going to make somebody laugh. But it needs to stay serious. And then when you laugh now, it's kind of like a relief. But when you're laughing and it ain't funny, then it's foolish. There's no joy there because the results and the reward or lack of reward is coming after that. The consequences of taking it upon ourselves to laugh at something that's not funny, to put people down, to lift yourself up, it's not good. To play with people's mind, and you have to tell them, oh, I was just joking. I was like, that's not true. You don't believe that. Why you do that? What's funny about telling somebody something that's not true, getting them to laugh, getting them to buy into what you just said, and then you turn around and try to explain to them, oh, that wasn't true. I'm sorry. I was just joking. Listen to it, and then you'll see that's not funny. It's borderline. It's not evil, but it's not right. It's not right. You shouldn't give yourself permission to play with people's mind like that. And you shouldn't just stop doing it when it becomes National Mental Health Week. You should check yourself and stop having a need to do that. Grow up. And once you grow up, they call you what? An adult. A grown-up person. A mature person. And isn't that an attribute you want to have? Won't it serve you in many of these situations? It rescues us from tomfoolery that made us aware that possibility we're not the way we are because what they say on IQ and don't pass this test, don't do that, and blah, blah, blah. Carter G. Wilson said it better than that. Just consider. I'm going to have to take his word or my word from it, that you've been miseducated. And then he went a little further, intentionally, because of your race. Someone wanted to keep you out of the race. Someone wanted to erase all of the attributes you needed to pursue freedom, justice, and equality. And did a good job. Did a good job. To the point now when I read Willie Lynch's letter, I get a different take. I don't think there was a Willie Lynch. But I think there was a entity that knew we tell stories and we get benefit from stories. So they created a story and they gave it a name called Willie Lynch. But to use it, the language that they use in there was not the time and period of supposedly this entity called Willie Lynch lived. They didn't talk like that. The verbiage and the descriptions and everything is a little more current, but the wisdom to give you a negative book for positive reasons. Undo what was done to you with reverse engineering. Take what it is that happened to us and go backwards with it and get back up to the beginning, but don't go the route that got you there. What else is that going to happen? You're going to stay there. Because you're going to get caught up and entangled with anger and all the other stuff that's there. Because what? You got miseducated. Not just the school system. The very environment that you was in. Had you doing things just to survive. and you didn't survive the project that you was put in because it was a project that was above your head. You saw living conditions, you saw creature comfort, but what it produced wasn't that. The good jobs and the good environment that was there for the people, it went where? Downhill. And who went with it? The people that was there. They had the regentrification, white flight, everybody ran and came back and jacked the price up. And what did that do to you? It put you out of a job, put you out of a home because you couldn't afford the rent. After you paid the rent, there was no more money. And that's nowhere to live. You're working to have a place, a house and a home to go to, a roof over your head, they said. And it takes all of your money. So what are you going to do? You're going to get two jobs. So now what does it take? It's taking all of your time and all of your money. So what's happened to you? All the time's gone. All the money's gone. You have returned to slavery. You're a workaholic, terms that you want to be able to be famous or popular for. Especially when you realize after you've done it, no legacy got built. No inheritance got saved. I was just faking it till I could make it. And what happened? I never made it. Why? Because it wasn't designed for me to win. It was designed just for me to survive. And that I did that, had very little time for myself to strive to undo what was done and become my best self. To understand that the mental education had to be addressed, and it wasn't addressed by a job. Even if it was a reunion, even if they had pension funds, which they don't have anymore. Wonder why? Because it wasn't meant to be a lasting thing anyway. It was bait to get you on the hook. It was an opportunity for you to come up with a creed called, I work hard, therefore I play hard. Sound familiar? Sound like a creed that people have and still have? And it's a vicious cycle. You can't win. Hard work produces because you reap what you sow. So well that you may reap well. There's no prescription in work hard, play hard that's going to accomplish that. What's needed, is a work ethic. And along with that, there's a ideology that says at some point, I spend in my community X amount of times. The dollars stay in my community X amount of times, and then it goes out. But as soon as I get my check, I run right down to Macy's and help make somebody else rich. Is this a black problem? No, it's a poor problem. People with poor socioeconomic conditions and then with poor thinking. Because you rush out with that urge hit you this Friday and the eagle flew, and it's time to go do what I do. Get something for me and my baby and the babies, because I'm a good breadwinner, you know. Provide for my children. You provide for our children when we leave an inheritance, and it don't have to all be money. A legacy, a ethic, a tradition that tells them what to do in your absence and to become not only parents like you did, but better parents, better providers. And it's now all wealth. Don't you know the greatest hurt for people after they retire? They can't even enjoy their retirement because they don't have the health. They gave that all to the job. Whatever it required to get the money from the job, they did it, or we did it. And then when the job was over, when we got ready to get that age where you're supposed to be able to go off into the sunset and enjoy life more because you got things in place for that to happen. And you can. You done saved it. You got it up. Your pension is right. And you're ready to get on the boat and everything. And You can't board it and enjoy the cruise or enjoy the trip or enjoy the beach because you don't have your health. And we were working so hard, had our nose to the grindstone, didn't look up. And didn't look around. Circumspect, it's called. If I keep this up, it's not going to end too pretty. I can't count on this then. What if they pull the rug right in the middle of me getting ready to make this purchase, this major purchase, a new car, a good three-bedroom, not a shotgun room. Not only six figures, not only, you know, four figures, six figures. So what are we seeing? What are we sounding like? Does it sound like we're preaching? Or does it sound like we're trying to say, get your house in order so you can live the life, an affordable lifestyle that doesn't go away if the job goes away, doesn't go away if the market drops, doesn't go away if you lose your job, if you lose your mate. See, that's the security that comes with the thought process of me entering the level of freedom, justice, and equality. And owning that, it's not just three words that sound good. It's what I do, because my Lord instructs me, informs me, gives me insight into that turn. And it's not just a feel-good message. It's not something I'm doing and I'm talking about it, but I'm not really putting provisions in place. I'm not really getting my possessions in place so that I possess them and they don't possess me. The vicious cycle that's leading to that kind of behavior and conversations. Don't want to talk like that. Don't want to talk about stuff like that. I don't want to give material more power than it should have. And I want to believe that God made this big old world, plenty for everybody. But it's my responsibility to get myself together so I can get my piece of the pie or my pie. That's what time it is. You see people of color making contributions, being in positions of authority. Not so much like we used to, quota, or we gave y'all something so y'all should be thankful. When we recognize and when we appreciate ourselves and our contribution that we make to the world community, then it's not somebody anointing you or giving you or whatever. There's more empathy versus sympathy, more immolation versus assimilation. I'm taking the best thereof to build my situation in a character, in a way of character and dignity and integrity. And it ain't a black thing or a white thing. It's a human thing. And I'm clear about that. And when I lose sight of that, I've stepped out of the, blurred the lines of my human identity, which is the greater identity of over color and race. That's the one that gets you recognized. That's the one that not only teaches equality, it practices equality. Once we get in a position to do those things, like the song said, ain't no stopping us now. And it's more like this here. We have stopped becoming our own worst enemy. Once that happens, then the other enemy, he doesn't have a chance. Because that's what he was capitalizing on. Going back to my other term, he was capitalizing on the fact that we would stay miseducated. But when we got an education, firstly with scripture, It told us what to do in a balanced way. And then once you start practicing, become a practitioner. These are words that you can use comfortably because it informs other people about what you really are about. No half-stepping here. No shucking and jiving here. No day late dollar short here. None of that applicable. Things happening in my life, and that's good news. Isn't that what we've been waiting on? And I'm not just talking to African Americans. I'm talking to the people who are suffering in the same measure and manner. I'm just using us as a focal point. Because even though people are suffering, we have and still are suffering more. It's nothing to brag about. It's just the truth. And it's a truth we need to see for ourselves, that we are the striving poor and act like it. How you ever going to not be that if you don't act like you're that? You can't buy happiness. You can't buy wisdom. You can't buy wealth. You can't buy health. You have to be healthy. You have to be wealthy. You have to become your best self. It doesn't work any other way. That's the justice. That's the fairness about it. That's the freedom about it. Nobody's stopping you but you or us, we, however you want to put it. But once we stop becoming our own worst enemy, because we recognize and we start addressing that we have not been properly educated by this system or even by the system that we joined. We are reverts, and now we need access to the kind of knowledge that will address our past deficiencies. That's what we need. There's more than one way to say it. Maybe a better way to say it. That's not a part of the debate. The debate should start with us believing by putting to test, putting to use what you're hearing. And then sharing, and if you hear something that sounds like it needs a little bit more attention, or what about this and that, well, then yes, most definitely. Other stand-alone ideas stand alone with the idea, just like the ranks of prayer. Everybody brings something to the table, especially if they're on the front row. But how do you get on the front row? Know what you know and do what you do. Nobody wants you on the front row and you just because you want to be there thinking it's got some kind of mystical power. It doesn't. It's there because that's your strength. If the head falters, subhanAllah. Just to get everybody's attention, there was a slight little error there. It needs to be corrected so that God will know that we know. And we're saying it in a way to suggest that we know. When we hear a mistake, we correct that mistake. And then the head hears it and it goes on. And the body has been readjusted or revised or reset to proceed. See, those cautionary things are in place, where it allows us to be human, which means there's going to be some errors. We're not perfect. We're not trying to be perfect. We're trying to perform with excellence, though. Don't get that twisted. Standards are so low now, you can just do anything. Just show up any kind of way. No. Have enough sense. Have enough dignity. Have enough ability to conform to some kind of dress code and some kind of behavior that is dignified. And it has value on a global scale. Nobody going to object to that. They're going to welcome it. They're going to act like it has the value that you're giving it, and they're going to tell you that they appreciate professional and your integrity the way you conduct yourself. That's the way the religion spread. They want to say the sword, but no. We travel, and we had an ethic, and we had a integrity, and we had a knowledge base that we didn't know, we wanted to know. Because when you travel, you see God showing you other signs that you might want to become neighbors and do a little traveling to become neighbors. When we see that in the life of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that's how he got started. When he was working for his wife, he was the traveling salesman, a traveling person who conducted business with her to close deals and do whatever. Did that before he became the prophet. Why? Because that's a part of the process. Go as far as China at the time. The knowledge is there. And own it like a believer. Own it like it's yours. Because what is that saying to you? You're going to do more with it than them. And not, you don't rub it in anybody's face. Why do you know that? Because you know more. You have been endowed with the truth. Isn't that what the second chapter says? Irrefutable. Pray for it in the first 7 verses and get it in the second. And you're going down the line, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. The progression is there. To keep taking you what? To another level. Which lets you know what? That first one here was just kind of introductory, foundational. Now we're going to rise with enlightenment, competence that will give you confidence. And once you possess it, no one can take it. The only way they get it is you let them have it, you drop your guard, or you do whatever. When you share, you bring about an equality where people ain't trying to take nothing because I've given you what you need to be equal. To expand your version of the same thing and get about the business of that. And don't give me the credit. I'm trying to get blessings and barakah from my Lord by helping my fellow human being. That's how it's done. Get it so you can give it. And you can't give it until you get it. Not properly. Because after a while, if you get it and you give it prematurely, now you need charity. That's not giving it. That's not being charitable. That's not even being a martyr. Why put yourself in a position that's not favorable and then say the religion told you to do that? Or let someone blame the religion for you doing it. You might not even blame it. You might not even know you're doing it. But if you look at the Quran, you look at the Word of God, the Scripture, the principles that are there, and it's not just in the out, but you can see the comparison. If you ever compare, you'll see why I can say that or why I say that. And then God tells us, I completed. This is the seal. This is the final brick. This is the end of all the questions and without answers that you've been having. Historically, it ends without being a history book. It just goes back in time and shows you where the problem started so you can see the roots and how we still have it because we stopped addressing it the way it needs to be addressed. Allah says that. I've gotten everything you need here in this creation. You're going to have to go to Mars. It's right here. It's everything you need. It's right here in your environment. Now, you can mess the environment of the world. You know, we got a problem getting it. You know, the sun coming in is not this and that, and the weather's bad and everything. Yeah, but it's not because it's not here. It's that you done abused the here by getting more than you should or taking advantage, and it's not use, it's abuse. So what happened? There's consequences. It's time to stop the party and get right with your creator and get the message right and quit using it to elevate others as if they're chosen or degrade others because they're devilish. There's no devil race and there's no chosen race. There's those who promote it like it is, but it's not. And once you start going down that road, you'll see it's not. There may be a lot of people on the road with you, but it's a dead end. That's a problem. And guess what? You don't want to find out the hard way. You want to find out as quick, ASAP, as soon as possible. At least if you are wise about it. See, we think wisdom is just this heavy-duty, deep knowledge. No, it's a condition or state that you come into when you've been exposed to it and the light is on, I mean full blast, like the light is on in my room here. But to go way back in the closet to get some darkness. Because once I open that door, that light goes boom. And go back in the crevices and way deep up in there, I can find a dark spot. And I'll probably see things that I wasn't looking to see that I can see now that, you know, that I'm glad the light's on because I can see deeper into the closet. And this is metaphorical, semi-metaphorical, you know. The depths of darkness can be disastrous. The depths of darkness can be disastrous. See? And the wudu, we go to the back, the base level, that bone and that spinal cord. Come up all the way to the frontal cortex. Thought until it gets all the way up here. Now you can see straight. Now you can see right and wrong. Everything's ready to be examined. Because you take that same front of the cortex, what did you do? You made sajda. See? You got in a position of prostration and put the crown on the ground. What's that symbolizing? One thing you're saying, look, God, I ain't got nothing. I ain't gonna profess to say I got nothing. I'm gonna go down, then when I get back up, I got no sense to tell people the truth. I'm just a messenger, a humble messenger at that. And it's so much to know. That little bit, that 30 minutes, hour and a half, no way ain't close. But now you got some frame of references. See? And once you get the frame, you put the picture in it, and the picture's worth 1,000 words. So what you're doing, you're cooking with gas now. See? But here's the thing that we got to understand. We have to earn that. No welfare here. Don't get it. It's the ability to get the muscle, use it so you won't lose it, and watch your world impact the world. See? And people stop complaining. Stop pointing the finger and three pointing back at you at all times. There's no way you can point the finger and three don't point back at you or us. So what is that? God made a sign and said, hey, look, stop playing the blame game. Own your responsibility and ability. Both words and ability. Separate them and then put them back together and then get busy applying them properly. And nobody, you won't have to come back and get no testimony. Your life will be a testimony. The way you conduct your affairs and manage those affairs will tell the rest of the world, you must know something we don't know. You can't just be a wannabe. You can't fake that. When it's real, it lights up the room like I was just saying. It's not in name only. You and I have done until we what? Become. Become what? Become what Scripture's talking about. A living example of what's being said is now being done. And now words like hallelujah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, Yeah, those kind of words can be said. Allahu Akbar. And there's other words in other languages that serve the purpose. The point I'm saying is that a lot of people are saying those words when the conditions don't match. And I'm saying when the conditions match and you say the words, it's going to have a different impact. Because you go out there and tell people now Allah is God, you know, and that's a proper name, and Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the last prophet and, you know, and messenger of God, because he brought his message. Man, get too much excitability. But when you see someone who has turned and getting orientated properly, it's very noticeable, because most people aren't. It's just a fact. See? And a lot of people you're around that haven't, you're going to make them uncomfortable. They're not going to be happy to see you coming. And they may start to whisper, are they coming? When them old Muslims, that Allah talking, no pork and all that stuff, they coming. That just green out of, maybe that go away. And it is. It's kind of painful to see people feel that way about you, because you have something going on in your life that they don't have. And they're angry. And they're ego, and they're jealous. And they're envious. Then you can do to help them until they repent and let go of all of that. Get out of your own way and get on with life. It's too short and it's too big and it's too full for foolishness that we be going, petty little old foolishness that we be going through or have to go through, because people have absolutely lost their mind in their life. And they're operating on urges and what the media is saying and all kind of stuff, concocted stuff. They got a little bit of truth in it, so it's appealing. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves enjoying it and engaging in it more than we should, because it is a total waste. It doesn't have you going full circle. It has you going in circles. And it's hard when you're going in circles, because it's hard to identify the starting point. You have to stay with it a little while. Oh, there it is right there. I need to get off right here and go backwards to my senses and come get my bearings again. I can keep on keeping on. But if I keep on keeping on, I'm going to wish I hadn't. If we are doing things that shouldn't be done that way, that's the definition of crazy. Doing things wrong and hoping they'll come out right. It's crazy. God tells you, I'm good and only accept good. That should be enough to let us know, examine it, and look at it and say, wait a minute now. Is this what God is saying, or is this me wanting what God said so I can get the easy way out? We catch so much problem, we want it to be easy now. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. But in order to come out of the valley and up to the hill, up to the mountain, and that's symbolic, it's just valley, low-level, low-life thinking versus higher, elevated, enlightened thinking. And when you hear it, God's telling us and identifying, I am the Lord of the heavens and the earth. So you have no reason to stay on earth on that low level when you can get the view from heaven or get in it from an enlightened state. Those little problems that I had today, that little stuff that I went through, it became solvable, and I had solutions and decisions, and I had input, and I had recommendations. Well, okay, so we got this we want to do. Won't we don't do that? Let's just do one of those things and know that those other things will come back and we can do them later. And we won't have lost that much. We won't. But we will lose if we try to do too much. And we have a little circumstances that come about because we're trying to do too much. And before we attempted it and failed, we recognized it. And we caught ourselves. Thoughts and the good sensible thoughts and the good clear thoughts came and let's cut this short. Let's play beat the clock. Let's go and get things done and not be late, day late and a dollar short. Let's do things in a way that's more structured and orderly and more trusting in God and not letting our own little mind say, and we're getting like the maniacs you see driving on the street. Like we're the only one on the street. We're not going fast enough for them because they got to get where they got to get right now. So they just driving fast and passing people and speeding, carrying on. You can turn into that person because you see something that you want getting away. And what's getting away is our ability to trust in God. Inshallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah, bi'iznillah. All those have a meaning. God willing, the will of God, or the plan of God. God gives his permission that this happen. See, we got to get those right so we can understand what we're seeing, because there come a time when you need to see it. You need to come see it sometimes before and sometimes after. Isn't that the way it works? Grammatically, that's the way it works, and symbolically, that's the way it works. Things first is what they say, right? First things first. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't be premature. I'm ready, but what I'm trying to do ain't ready. I got the truth, but the people ain't ready to hear it. So maybe I should slow down, go a little more gradual, because it is an adjustment once you've been in the dark to have to deal with light. So maybe I should start with a match or a flashlight before I get a big old powerful overhead light. Symbolic talk. It's kind of like they say, play the trailer, not show the whole movie. Script, people. Let your first assignment be introduction. And then you got a foundation that will let the rest of what you're seeing rest on, be fertile to, and be receptive to. And just remember, Rome wasn't built in a day. Things don't happen overnight. And over time, that's when they happen. And that means what? You got to be patient. But you also have to live your life in a way that reflects it, because we never know. Allah said, I make Muslims. But if there ain't no Muslims to greet the Muslims after they done converted, then what happens? It don't stop necessarily, but it gets slowed down because we ain't ready. And when you don't have, when you're not ready, and something is being forced on you, or that's being told to you, and it's going faster than you can keep up, you're probably going to drop out. And if you were a product of integration, you know what I'm talking about. There's no way I was ready, they were ready, and the government wasn't ready to even follow and execute it with the way it was supposed to. And to this day, a lot of people think that we got preferential treatment because of our melanolia, whatever that most stuff that they say make us dark. They say that's what got you into schools and stuff. And it took the army and the patrols and the guard dogs and all that. nobody else got that. And then the affirmative action, you know, they said it was discrimination. And to a degree, they're right. But what they're not considering is the condition that they purposely put us in and left us in. When Abel, it was against the law to even for us to read and write. Now, if you hear that too much, you get a little angry and you lose your vision. See? You'll stop being emotionally intelligent about things. Okay, A3 coming to you. So we don't want that to happen. But the only way it's not going to happen is we have to have control. And the way you get control is not involve yourself in stuff that takes away that control. See? If it's a little too painful right now, let it go. It's not going to stop from the fact that it happened and we need to do something, but we need to do it intelligently, enlightenedly. And we need to make sure we're not impressing people, but we are empowering people. That's what we want to do. Okay, look at the boys lit up. Woo, let me hush. Got two people's hands up. Let me get over here to this here and see what they got to say. So we're going 314, and then 314, we recognize we got 773 waiting in the wings. So state your name and where you're calling from, and whether you have a question or a comment.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. I'm going to defer to 773. Yeah, this is Mark Shaheen from the STI. I'm going to defer to 773, and I'll come back.
Okay. All right. Okay. You're a gentleman and a scholar, so we appreciate
that. Alhamdulillah.
All right, 773. Gotcha. Opportunity to introduce us to what you like to say, whether it be a question or a comment.
Assalamualaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, as always.
Yes.
Thank you, Mark, for yelling. I wasn't expecting that. But, you know, Brother Pasha, I so appreciate you because the conversation that you bring to us, this lifelong learning conversation, is the type of conversation that needs to be heard every day to all people on all levels because it touches the spirit. And it should move us into action. No matter where we've been in life, no matter what we're doing in life, if we hear something that resonates with our soul, then we should own it. We really should own it. And I think, brother, that you should make yourself available beyond just this radio platform because you have so much to offer that can change people's lives and make a difference in people's lives. So it's just something to think about. And as Mark would say, I can say more, but I think you understand, you know.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes, sir.
Alaikum assalam. Oh, just before Brother Mark comes on, let me just say this here. I take people's advice wholeheartedly, especially when you hear it multiple times. And I do. I look forward to trying to get other platforms and things to do. Allah is in charge, and hopefully he will open some doors and open some hearts that want to hear a little of truth that we have to offer. But I think the main thing I want to focus on, and I know we as a community need to focus on, is that charity begins at home and spreads abroad. We need to be able to make sure we got something to offer and that there's more out there, like the sister that just got through and myself and Brother Mark and other things. We need a community of enlightened people to help humanity in this dark times that we're living in. I mean, it is. If you go out there, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So let me get 814-833, Brother Mark.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to your very astute radio listening audience here on IWDM Radio. So this is Mark Shaheen from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. And you showed me some things. Yeah, I want to say alhamdulillah, and that means that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And you started out in talking about life, and oftentimes you've heard down through the years people say you need to get a life. You need to get a life. And so that would mean different things to different people. When you say get a life, the first thing that comes to my mind is that the Creator has given us a life. But the question becomes, do we have an appreciation for the life that we've been given? Do we understand the purpose of life? And if we cannot properly define life for a human being, then most certainly we can't respect the life, nor can we value the life. You know, as a word challenges, I thought about this a few years back, and, you know, some of the things that you've been saying really resonating. Live in faith every day. That would be a good way when things come at you in life. Live in faith every day. You were speaking about how we should trust Allah, how we should have faith in Allah. And so for us to have that faith and that trust, we need to know what it is that God is saying to us. What words are God giving to us to be able to live the life that He has created us for? I'm hoping this is making some sense, you know. And even if we don't call God Allah, but if we believe in God, we really believe in God, and we believe God, which brings obviously the revelation, you know. So some people can say they believe in God, and really, in their mind, they do believe in God, but do they believe God? And this is where the improvement of your life is going to start. It's going to start in terms of, I do believe God. I believe what God says, and I internalize that, and I realize that, and I'm going to become a practitioner of that so I can get the fullness of the life that God intended for me to have. I can realize my full potential. I can be a better person in every aspect of life. And there's so many components to life. You know, we might be alive in one component or two components, but we're dead in three or four components. And so to be able to understand that and really have some real eyes, you know, that word, where's the N in I-Z-E? It's really eyes. So you have some real eyes in terms of understanding what would bring life to those things that are actually dead or dark in our life. This is very important. And I'm glad you took this topic on, you know, so that it will become enlightening. Another acronym for life is light illuminating for everything. There's some things we're in the dark on, but but to have the full appreciation for other forms of life, not just human life, but other forms of life, it's light illuminating for everything that the Creator has created, because we have to relate to all of the creation, but especially the human creation. I could say a lot more in regards to that, but I think it's so very important that we really value the life that Allah has given to us, because it is a very unique life. So when people say, or they say to you, get a life, you know, you should say to them, I got a life. And I'm living in faith every day to the one that has created me and striving to the best of my ability to live the life of a human being. That is being human. I'll stop there. I'm always enjoying Al-Islam-based conversation.
I'm going to ask you to do two things, really. We talked on the telephone, and you mentioned, I mentioned the word work. And you gave an acronym for that. So could you repeat that for me?
Yes, sir. If it's worth obtaining real knowledge, it's going to be work. If it's worth obtaining real knowledge. Now, the operative words there is obtaining real knowledge. There's some knowledge that's not real knowledge. Matter of fact, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he only wanted to be blessed with knowledge that benefits. Beneficial knowledge is what he said. Beneficial knowledge. Some knowledge, you understand, is worthless knowledge. It becomes showcase type knowledge. But you want to have real knowledge. And so this takes us back to the Quran again. But in looking at one of the 99 known attributes of Almighty God, Allah, is Al-Haq, which you know, and maybe many of our listeners, but if you don't know, it means the truth, the reality. This is real knowledge. And this type of knowledge is the truth that Prophet Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam, was talking about, that was liberating, that really will set you free to know that. There are people, as you know, Imam Nazim Pasha, I don't do acronyms just to be doing them. I relate them, and Allah has blessed me to be relate them to the Quran and what revelation is actually saying. There are a lot of people that they have knowledge, but they don't have real knowledge that actually will liberate them. They're still incarcerated. You know that they know this, they know that, but they don't know what it is that they need to know to really. You talk about life to relate it again, to really, really free their life and realize their full potential, and in terms of servitude that is imbued in every human being, to know what it is that they need to be serving most or prioritizing in their life. Mm-hmm. So it's work. When it's worth obtaining real knowledge, it's going to be work. And we know also that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said, work is worship. Work is worship. Mm-hmm. It's true worship. You're not, some people have the idea, the concept, that, and by some stretch of the imagination, I go to church, I go to the synagogue, I go to the temple, I go to the masjid, I go to the Islamic center, and all I am worshiping God. If you have only that understanding, then you are misunderstanding what worship is. It is the whole life of the individual in Al-Islam-based conversation. It's the whole life, the comprehensive life, and what it is that you do is actually what true worship is. You know, see, so we need to understand that so we have a better grasp of what real worship is. And remember the prophet saying, work is worship. So when the migration came in his time, when they was persecuted, whereas they couldn't really fully worship God, the one God, they had to migrate to Yathrib, that we know now is Medina. And when they got there, they had to build the masjid from the ground up. And the prophet, the prayers and peace be upon him, he was right in there working with them. And the sahabas, his companions, said, O Rasul, O messenger, you're working much too hard. You're the Rasul of Allah. We can do the work. His response was, work is worship. Work is worship. We won't be able to get to the paradise, back to the garden, to Jannah or to heaven, our Christian brothers and sisters. We won't be able to obtain that goal without work. Mm-hmm. Boy, that could be a topic in and of itself here.
Absolutely.
On an ABC Alisson-based conversation. How far can we get without work?
Exactly.
I mean, that's just a rhetorical question. Yes. But if it's worth obtaining real knowledge, it's going to be work. And guess what? It's going to be a lifetime of
so the other thing I was going to ask you is that until I get more whatever, could you repeat some of the shows that are going to be on the rest of the week?
Yes. Yes, most certainly. I always like to say the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. In addition to Alisson-based conversation, tomorrow is Tuesday, and we have the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salaam and his off-returning guest, instructor Abdul Shahid, in terms of the production that they have, which is based on your health, the science of your health, and you. There's a science that actually goes with you as a creation and maintaining good health, as I heard you say earlier. So this is an outstanding production. You need to bring your pens and pad. It happens every Tuesday here on IWDM Radio, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab with Rashid Salaam. Wednesday is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the host, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, and yours truly, Mark Shahid. And every first Wednesday, Rashid Salaam, he sits in with me. And this is a learning lab, obviously, that everybody needs, whether you're still a parent or not, from an Islamic perspective, once again, and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. And so that happens each and every Wednesday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And then it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where it's hosted by yours truly once again, Mark Shahid, where I love to bring and present to our IWDM Radio listening audience, very distinguished, esteemed members in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And sometimes I have guests at the roundtable that's not in the community, and I take on topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And so this Wednesday you can look to hear the person that has the most invitations and attendance, holds the record for invitations, my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, who is the national convener of Imams. And the conversation will be about an upcoming leadership conference that will be taking place in October there in Florida. So you don't want to miss that information. That starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, is 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And then Thursday is the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and that will be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And you will be pleasantly surprised. Maybe I go ahead and tell who's going to be on there. It's going to be our beloved brother, Imam Talib Sharif. Yes, Imam Talib Sharif, who is the resident Imam of the Nation's Mosque there in Washington, D.C. He and his wife have agreed to be an outstanding couple that have been together for a long. Matter of fact, they're just celebrating their 43rd wedding anniversary. And he is very elated and excited about the invitation. And we also will engage him in the true love recipe. So you don't want to miss that. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. The Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shahid. Friday is Salatu Juma Day. And if you're immobilized and can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer. It's on each and every Friday starting at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central, and it's 11 a.m. Pacific Coast time here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production on IWDM Radio, it happens each and every Sunday afternoon. But once again, the very distinguished esteemed Mikhail Sayer, it is Words Make People. Sound familiar? Well, it's here on IWDM Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern and high noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast time here on IWDM Radio. And the beginning of the week, you're hearing it live with our very distinguished esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha. And it's ABC. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, but it is Al-Islam-based conversation. And so this is still relatively new production. I think more and more listeners. So I know Imam Nazim Pasha, if it's Al-Islam-based conversation, you want those people to talk back with you in terms of the very timely topics that you bring up. And so you can find that each and every Monday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, it's 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast time. Al-Islam-based conversation with Imam Nazim Pasha. Make sure you inform family members, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, community members. Put it in announcements. Ask them to listen in to IWDM Radio. And get a printout of all the productions that IWDM actually have and bring it to your local masajids and Islamic centers. You know, you love for your brother and your sister what you love for yourself. So spread the word about IWDM Radio and the many productions here on IWDM Radio. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal as it has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. And we also support this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful that will be held in Newark, New Jersey, inshallah. That's the new home of the Muslim Journal. So you want to make sure that you go ahead and get registered for that. You don't want to hear about it. You want to be about it. So go ahead and get that registration in. And I want to just say this, Islam is for you and yours. As always, back to you. Imam Nazim Pasha.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran, brother Mark. Appreciate that.
Definitely.
And sure that others do also, because, I mean, you really need to stay informed and know what's going on. There's a lot going on in our community, and we need to know about it, and so we can participate and support it, you know. Everything that's in alive needs human support, and we can give it in more ways than one. And sometimes it's just being there or just calling in or just acknowledging, you know, that you're going and you're inviting others to go. So let's act like a community that's alive. And I think we'll start seeing the benefits of it, because when we do what Allah says to do, He does what he says He's going to do in a way that we just can't even really believe. And sometimes I know some things that I thought would never happen in my lifetime, and I'm here, and I can thank only Allah, because I had given up hope on certain things. And to be alive and see it, benefit from it, and be worthy enough to be in my right mind to appreciate it. So we thank Allah. So I'm going to conclude with that. We had a wonderful time, in my opinion. And like we said before, the only thing that's missing is you. So come on in and join us. We welcome you and your comments. This is not an I show. This is a Al-Islam-based conversations. And if I forget to say we, it's only because I got so involved in what I was saying, I didn't say it at my best level. So, but we're in this together, and we're going to win it together. And let's act like it. Let's not just hear it and, you know, give it a hallelujah or give it a takbir. Let's really, like the brother said, let's put some effort toward it. Let's put on our working cap, our working hat, and let's go to work and get something done in the name of Allah. And for the leadership of Imam Waterfordine Muhammad and his father, that needs to be mentioned too. He did Elijah Muhammad did a wonderful job, and peace be upon him, and may he be granted paradise and forgiven his sins, because a lot of us have lost our way, and he got us back in a direction to looking to do better for ourselves and by ourselves and do for self. That's really, really has been a crown in my little hat or cup or cap or whatever, because I really didn't have given myself the permission to, and I was satisfied and pacified to be working on the J-O-B for the rest of my life. And there's nothing wrong with that, but when you know better, we should do better. So may peace be upon you. May the only Allah can give. Hope to see you again next week, and hope to have more of the same, because I don't see anywhere else to get out of this thing, because it's almost like a maze or something, or what was that word that you had in the movie? A matrix. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And so let's be aware of that. Not conspiracy theories, but there is some little distractions that are out there, and they're busy. While we're sleeping, they're trying to get something in place to hold us back or trip us up or deceive us. And we need to be aware of that. Just look out for everybody's best interest, and starting with yourself. So I conclude with that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to you. And we hope to see you, like I said, again, with us again next week, inshallah.